First Timothy and the chapter 1, please. First Timothy, the letter of Paul to Timothy, First Timothy chapter 1. And we will read from verses 11 to verse 17. First Timothy 1, from verse 11 to verse 17. And the word of God says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly, in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us come to our God in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come to your presence. We acknowledge that we're nothing more than sinners. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. And I come to thee, O Father, not by anything that we have done, but only by the merits of Christ, our Savior. And we pray, O Lord, that now you will undertake that the presence of Christ will be here among us. You know the heart of everyone that is in this room here tonight. And we pray, O Lord, that you will search our hearts, O Father, and that no man or woman will go out of this all here tonight without being sure that they are saved and that their eternity will be in heaven. Thank you, Father, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us now as we endeavor to preach the gospel. Give us clarity. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. How would you write a headline for a newspaper? Research says that if you are to do that, you should be highly accurate and specific. It should be a complete sentence. It should avoid repetitions. And it should be no more than 5 or 10 words. Nothing more than that. If the headline is too long or too general, it will miss its goal. The Apostle Paul was not a newspaper editor, but he knew how to condense spiritual truths without losing any of its meaning. And I believe in verse 15 of the passage that we have just read, in verse 15, in the middle of the verse, we have the greatest headline in history. Let us read again that verse. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And here we come with the greatest headline, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That is the gospel in 10 words. The gospel in 10 words, and that will be our title for tonight. The gospel in 10 words. Some people, some false teachers in Paul and Timothy's time were bringing false doctrine to the church. They were bringing and teaching fables, teaching endless genealogies, as we find there in chapter 1. And then the people in the churches were confused rather than being built up in the faith. These teachers, they were making long, long, very long speeches that were only noise but made no sense. They preached about something that they hadn't experienced themselves. But not so with Paul. Not so with him. He had experienced the grace of God and salvation as he went that day to Damascus, and the Lord saved him there, and he wanted everybody to know it, to know what has happened in his life. That glorious gospel that he mentions in verse 11, that glorious gospel that had taken him from being a blasphemer and a persecutor, as we read in verse 13, and that glorious gospel that had put him in the ministry, as we read in verse 12. So as Paul is thinking about all these things, he brings a kind of parenthesis, a kind of break to his discourse in verse 15. And in that verse, he actually summarizes that glorious gospel that had changed him. And what a parenthesis this is in his discourse. If the teaching of these false teachers was complex and with much wordiness, Paul's explanation of the gospel was simple and short. In only 10 words, Paul was able to explain what the false teachers could never explain in 1 million words. And it's those 10 words that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Only 10 words, but 10 words that are enough to show any sinner in this room the way to heaven. So we're going to study and we're going to think about those 10 words. The first word that we find there is the word "that." And the word "that" links the sentence "Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners" with the previous sentence, that is the introduction. And it says there in the previous sentence, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." And that speaks to us of the reliability of the gospel. The gospel is reliable. When we think about a saying, it is a short phrase, a well-known expression, which generally offers advice or wisdom. There are many sayings in the English language. I am sure you know a lot better than me. But there is none. There is none so faithful and so worthy of all acceptation as the one we have read here. This saying here would be a well-known expression in the churches in Paul's time. They would repeat it again and again. And of course, they knew it because Jesus Christ spoke of himself in these same terms. In John 16 and verse 28, Jesus Christ said, "I am come into the world." We know that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. In Luke 5:32, he said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And thus the disciples took these words of Christ, and this saying was coined, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And what a saying this is. And a phrase, of course, cannot be a saying until it's often said. And if you're a believer here tonight, is this saying something that you would repeat often? We often remember people by the proverbs or by the sayings they say or they repeat. Oh, that we would be remembered as the people of God, as a people that repeats again and again this saying here to all those around us, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul, as he thinks about these words, he affirms that this saying is faithful. That means that it's sure, it is true. The gospel is totally and infinitely reliable. We live today in an age of fake news. Big companies manipulate information in order to manipulate people. You watch something in the news, and a few days later, you realize that it wasn't true or that actually it was a bit exaggerated. Not so with this gospel. It is completely faithful, completely true, completely reliable. It is a faithful saying. Why it is? Why is it a faithful saying? Because God is faithful who gave it. Because Christ is faithful. Because the Holy Spirit is faithful. Because the Bible is faithful. But it's not only faithful, it's also worthy of all acceptation. That means it's deserving of all acceptation. Not only an acknowledgement in the mind, but also an acceptation in the heart. It is worthy of all acceptation. It is worthy that all people would accept it. Rich and poor, woman and man, young and old, all people, from all nations, from all tongues, it is worthy of the acceptation of all people. And if you're not saved here this evening, if you accept this message, this gospel, it will never let you down because Christ said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." If you accept this message that is worthy of all acceptation, this message will never put you to shame because none that wait on God will be ashamed. As Psalm 25:3 tells us, it is worthy of your acceptation. It is a faithful, faithful saying. But then the next words that we find here are the words "Christ Jesus." And that speaks to us of the Redeemer in the gospel. The Redeemer in the gospel. A Redeemer was one that had the right to purchase back an inheritance or a people that had been lost. And the concept of a Redeemer was very, very present, very near to the hearts of every faithful Jew. For centuries, many, many Jews had been waiting and waiting and waiting for a Redeemer to come. And now the Redeemer had come. Christ Jesus is the Redeemer. And what would he do with him? The name Christ, when we read there in verse 15, Christ Jesus, that name Christ speaks of the Messiah. In the Old Testament, we find verse after verse that points to that promised Messiah that would come, that Christ that would come, that anointed one who would come. And this Christ who would come, he would be the Son of God. Because no man, no mere man would be able to accomplish what he had to do. He had to be the Son of God. But then when Christ came, and he affirmed by his word and by his deeds that he was God, that he was the Son of God, they received him not. They received him not. They loved darkness better than light because their works were evil. The name Christ speaks of the Messiah. The name Jesus there speaks of the man. Jesus is the Son of Man as well as the Son of God. And the name Jesus means Savior. It is the name that was given to the Son of God at his birth. Before Christ was born, God told Joseph, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So Christ Jesus, he is the Redeemer. He is the Redeemer. He is the Son of God and the Son of Man. The question to you tonight is, what think ye of Christ? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? The next words that we find in this saying is that he came into the world. That Christ Jesus came into the world. Came into the world. And here we see the reality of the gospel. The real fact of the gospel is that Christ came into the world. These are real facts. Real facts. No man in 2,000 years of history has been able to disprove that Christ came into the world. Even the greatest atheists today, and there are many, even the greatest atheists today cannot deny that Jesus came into the world. Perhaps they don't believe in God, they don't believe in the supernatural, they don't believe in miracles, they don't believe in spiritual things, but they cannot deny that Jesus came into the world. And that's their main problem and their main error. And the words came into, and those words came into, we see the action that Christ Jesus performed. And those words imply that if he came into the world, it means that he was outside the world. He was not restricted to the world as we are. It says he came into, and we can think that he came into our time. Christ, the Son of God, has existed before time. He has existed before he came, before this world was created. He is eternal, but he came into our time in order that we could live eternally. He came into our time in order that we could go into his time, into eternity. But he came in also into our place. He was in heaven dwelling with his Father for all eternity, but he left heaven, he left his Father, and he came to our place, to this sin-cursed world, to this poor world. He came to our place in order that one day we could actually go to his place, to his glorious house in heaven. And he also came into our own nature. God the Son, he took for himself a human body, a human nature like yours and like mine, but without any sin. And if you think about it, that God himself would take a human nature. What a humiliation was this for him. Philippians chapter 2 says that Christ humbled himself. He humbled himself, and the Son of God was born. He lived in this world for 33 years. He was crucified, he was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead. He came into our time, into our place, into our human nature, because he had to be a man who would obey the law for us. We couldn't obey the law. It had to be a man who would do it. It had to be a man who would die on the cross for us. So Christ was that perfect man and that perfect God. But the verse tells us that he came into the world. That was his destination. He came into this world of sin. Who knew no sin? Who did not sin? Who in him there was no sin? No sin at all in Jesus Christ. He came into this world of sinners. And the Bible says that he suffers such contradiction, such opposition of sinners against himself when he was here. He came into this world of darkness. Who is the light of this world? He came into this world of sufferings and of sorrows and became the man of sorrows. He came into this world of sufferings and he suffered torture. He suffered scorn and mockery and crucifixion. He came into this world of death, who himself, as we have read in verse 17, is the God who is immortal. And he came to this place of death, and the immortal died in the cross of Calvary for sinners like you and like me. My friend, the issue today is not if you believe or not that Christ Jesus came into the world. That's a fact. That's a fact that cannot be disproved. That's a fact of plain history. It is a reality. the issue and the question today that you will have to answer today and that one day you will have to answer in the judgment throne of heaven. The question today is, what have you done with Christ? What have you done with His coming into the world? Because Christ Jesus came into the world. But then we have the words, to save. To save. And that we see there, the rescue in the gospel. Even the name of Jesus, as we have seen, means Savior. The Savior came into this world to save. To save. But perhaps you ask, what does it mean to save? What does it mean to be saved? Sometimes we take these words for granted that everybody will understand them. But to save means simply to rescue somebody who is in a great danger. In a great danger. Imagine a man or a woman who is drowning in the sea and a boat comes in there to their rescue. An unsaved man or woman here, if you're not saved this evening, you are in that position. You are drowning in the sea of your sin, and all your sin is drowning you more and more and more, and you need to cry, and you need to come to Jesus Christ, who is the lifeboat that comes in your rescue. If you don't do that, your sin will drown you more and more and more until one day you'll find yourself in hell itself. It's as serious as that. But the good news is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save. Christ Jesus came into the world to save. Not merely to help. Not merely to help those that help themselves. But to save. Not to half save sinners. But to save completely. Not to make salvation possible merely. But to definitely save sinners. The Bible calls it the new birth. That means that we were spiritually dead. And then we are given new spiritual life. The Bible calls it redemption. That means that we were slaves and now we are bought with the price of the blood of Christ. The Bible calls it deliverance. And that means that we were in the jail of sin and of Satan and now we are made free. The Bible calls it justification. And that means that in the court of God's justice, we are now declared to be innocent, to be righteous in His sight. The Bible calls it adoption. We were foreigners and strangers. We had no family. And now we are brought to the family of God. We are made the sons of God. The Bible calls it reconciliation. Two parties were an enmity. God on us. And we are made nigh. We are brought to God. We are now at peace with God by the blood of Christ. My friend here, are you saved? Christ just came into the world to save. Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you redeemed? Are you delivered? Are you justified? Are you adopted? Are you reconciled? Are you saved, my friend? That is the biggest and most important question that you can ever ask, that you can ever answer. Are you saved from your sins? The last word that we find in this saying is the word sinners. And here we see the recipients of the gospel. The word sinners speaks of all kinds of sinners. Self-righteous sinners that try to live a moral life in their life and they think they're righteous, they are righteous before God. It speaks also of filthy sinners. It speaks of young sinners and old sinners, of all kinds of sinners. But here is where it gets more personal because the word sinners speaks of you that are sitting here in this room. It speaks of me. If you farm, you're a farmer. If you drive, you're a driver. If you preach, you're a preacher. If you sin, you're a sinner. Sin is simply any kind of thought, any kind of word, any kind of action that you have done that goes and breaks God's law. And we have all broken God's law. Even as you came through those doors tonight, we have all broken God's law hundreds of times. Because the Bible says that we must love God with all our strength and all our soul and all our mind. And we haven't done that in one moment of all our life. We sin again, again, and again every day of our lives. We have broken the law of God. But thank God that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He came to this world to save Alex. He came to this world to save Vanessa, as you have heard. He came to this world to save sinners like you and like me. My friend, what about you? What about you? The Bible says that all have sinned. Jesus Christ did not come into this world to save righteous people because there are none. Jesus Christ did not come into this world to save good people because there are none. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And we see the mercy of God. That He would give His only begotten Son to save sinners. My friend, will you recognize your sin? Will you recognize your sin? This verse 15 that we have read finishes with these words. Paul says, "Of whom I am chief." Of whom I am chief. Paul believed himself to be the first of sinners, the chief of sinners. And that's what you need to do. Not to look at the sins of others. So many times when we hear about sin, we are so, so quick to look at others, to look at our right and our left and think about the sins of others. But Paul says, "Of whom I am chief." He recognizes his own sin before God. And that's what you need to do tonight if you're not saved. Not to think about other ones beside you, but to think about your own sin before God. To think that one day you will have to stand before God and He will ask you that question, "What have you done with my only begotten Son that I gave to save sinners?" He is your only hope. He is your only hope. Have your sins been dealt with as Christ died on the cross? That's the good news, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you have any questions, if you are not sure where your eternity will be, make sure tonight that you're saved by the grace of Christ. Let us pray.